Welcome to Frontiers of Faith, a podcast of the Pontifical Mission Societies. I am Katie Rubalcaba, and with me, as always, is the Season 3 winner of Project Runway, Father Anthony Andreassi. How are you, Father?
Good, good. That's one of my favorite parts is when, as part of your introduction of me. So I think I vaguely know what Project Runway is, though I don't think I've ever watched it. So.
Well, Heidi Klum was very proud of all of your designs.
Okay, I'm glad to know that.
And we have with us my good friend and one of my favorite people in the entire world, Patrick Nevy, co-host of the Crunch podcast. Hi, Patrick.
Hi. It's good to be here. Thanks so much.
Longtime listeners of Frontiers of Faith will remember a couple of months ago we had on Ethan Stevie, who is the other half of the Crunch cast. But now we have Patrick here. You're actually launching a really exciting project that I get weird about on the internet. I get very excited talking to people about it, and I want you to tell people about what you're doing. So let us know what's going on.
Okay, so a while ago we started an Instagram page because we were like wanted to promote our podcast, but we found ourselves talking a lot about apologetics, but in a way that was kind of different than what it was when I was growing up, which was just like, here are all the arguments, stop being wrong. We wanted to talk about apologetics in a fun way, and also in a way that you could talk about it with your friends. Because a lot of our listeners were like, "Hey, I left my Newman Center. I work at an engineering firm now, and two of my friends are evangelical Protestants, and two of them are atheists, and I don't know how to explain the faith to them." And so we created a free toolkit, a free guide called the Convince Your Friends Toolkit. We wanted to make it something that people would pay for, and then make it free. And so we made that. So it's three arguments for each level: atheist, non-Christian, and then non-Catholic. Three arguments for why a certain aspect of the faith is reasonable. Why it's reasonable to believe in God. Why it's reasonable to believe Jesus is God. And why it's reasonable to believe that the Catholic Church was started by Jesus. And so hopefully, if you take someone through those arguments, they'll be like, "Oh yeah, I guess being Catholic is at least reasonable," which is a good first step.
That's true. There's John Mulaney who does a joke where he tells people who are like, you know, when people say you're Catholic, he's like, yeah, there's that. I am. I'm sorry. And I don't think he is anymore now that I'm thinking about
Probably not.
Yeah, that's a bummer. But so, Patrick, one of the things that you were talking about, like the way that apologetics was when you were a kid versus how it is now. I think I've talked to you before. There was once an apologist who came to my parish and was giving those arguments for the faith. And in a very like, I was sitting next to a guy on a plane once, and this is an argument we got into.
I love this story.
It didn't really happen, but he's just trying to contextualize how you could have this discussion with somebody.
Yeah.
How is that kind of, talk to us a little bit about what you're offering is different than that.
That kind of apologetics is super in the weeds. Do you know what I mean? The different opinions on how Christ's salvation, how Christ's sacrifice on the cross actually earned our salvation. Was it meritorious? Was it penal substitution? Right? Any of these? Those aren't the kinds of arguments that you're having with your friends at coffee or at in the break room, right? You're having just arguments of, well, I don't know, the Mary stuff kind of makes me uncomfortable, or I don't know, like the Old Testament kind of makes me uncomfortable. Like those are the conversations that we're having, and the toolkit is a way to funnel those conversations into like common ground. So like in the introduction to the toolkit, I mentioned that every argument that someone has, every objection that someone has to Catholicism can boil down into one of these nine arguments, right? So like say the toolkit doesn't address Mary directly. Instead, it says, okay, take the Mary objection and then say, okay, well, the Catholic Church at its heart, the Catholic Church says that praying to Mary is okay. And they say, well, I don't agree with what the Catholic Church teaches. Okay, well, Jesus established the Catholic Church. Well, I don't believe that. Okay, that's the core problem. Like that's the issue. It's not the Mary thing. The Mary thing is subsequent. It's secondary. It's even tertiary, right? We want to go down to the root of why does this person not believe this? It's at the heart. It's because they don't believe that Jesus Christ established the Catholic Church. And so that's the conversation we should have. And the toolkit equips you to have the conversations that will help your friend eventually come to, oh yeah, I understand why scripture and tradition, or I understand why, you know, the divinity and humanity of Christ, right? That's what the toolkit hopes to do.
Yeah.
That's why it's different.
I have, no, I'm with you. I'm just thinking in my head. So one of the things that I have found with younger people when I have talked to them, is particularly younger people who are not religious, is they don't really, and I'm not sure that this is even where the toolkit is, but I just want to get your take on it because, I just want to talk about it. A lot of people don't know what they don't know, right? They don't know what they're missing. So when you ask a person like, hey, I'm a Catholic, I believe strongly in this, it means something to me, it's important to me, this is what the missions are doing, this is the way that we're supporting the world. And they like to say, like, that's great for you. I'm happy for you. I don't really care. Like, it's not my thing. So it's not even a question of, do they need to be logicked into this? It's that they need to understand that they are missing something.
Oh,
what do you think is up with that, with the younger people?
Yeah, I think perhaps I should edit what I said, because the arguments and the toolkit are not for the sake of like logicking someone into the church. It's to bring it to a common ground so that you can have that discussion. Because at the heart of it, it's like you can have all these arguments for why something is reasonable, and they can at least see, okay, this is reasonable. This is not something that's crazy. And then it facilitates a conversation. It facilitates a discussion. It's okay, you see this as not only reasonable, but also utterly convincing. I'm just not there yet. And now you're talking in the same place instead of, being on two different plateaus yelling at each other. Because there is, we're expanding the toolkit in the future to become something that's a little more comprehensive. And when we were talking about what that would look like, me and Ethan, like, what's the first thing that people need to be able to do is to know what is the difference between a debate and discussion, and when is the right time to have a debate versus a discussion. A discussion, right, is mostly about how does this thing make me feel, which is valid. And then a debate is what do I think about this? Like, ideas versus feelings, like brain versus heart. And I think usually we'll lean too far one way or the other. We'll think, we'll lead with our head or we'll lead with our heart. And I think there's a place for both of those things, but we have to understand what a discussion is fundamentally, and what a debate is, and how to do both well so that you maintain the friendship and nudge them at least a little bit into the direction that they should be, which is in the church. So I think you're right in that a lot of people are like, well, that's good for you, that's your experience. But I do think after a while, they start to question why. Like, okay, why have I had this experience and you haven't? Why do I have such a powerful experience in adoration, and why haven't you? The ninth argument in the toolkit is that, like, everyone should be Catholic. And, you can even say to a friend, like, well, that's great for you. It's like, okay, well, then do you believe that, God exists and that Jesus is God and that he established the Catholic Church? Because logically, if God established the Catholic Church, then everyone should be Catholic, right? And even someone who's not Catholic should be able to follow that logically sound argument. And then you can go, okay, we disagree, that you disagree that that's true. All right, great, why? And then you can start listening and they can start explaining, well, I'm uncomfortable with this, I'm uncomfortable with that, I had this experience, I had that experience. And then you start to understand them more. The logic is more of like a door opening rather than like the slam dunk. And that's what I think the difference is between apologetics of old, where it's like, I know Thomas Aquinas' five ways, and I can argue with you and I can win on YouTube, and then I will be proven correct. And now it's a little more like, here are the arguments. So you can see, like, yeah, this is logically sound, right? Well, that doesn't do it for me. Why not? And then you can have a discussion.
Yeah, I think that slam dunk mentality is something that creeps into all parts of the church and Catholic life, and probably everything in the world, where you think that you've got this silver bullet answer to somebody's disbelief, or you've got this silver bullet answer to poverty. You've got everybody thinks that there is just this one really clean, easy way out there. We just simply have to find it. And a lot of, Father Anthony was talking about this last week, that, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, I can't remember. Father Anthony, you can correct me, where a lot of Catholicism is really the struggle, is really the processing through things together, the working towards it. And I think that that's something that's really great about the digital evangelization and mission field that you're in, that you're recognizing that difference, that it's something that we have to walk together. We have to have friends out there in the world that don't agree with us in order to be able to be the missionaries that all of our disciple or all of our baptisms calls us to be.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, the people that God is calling you to evangelize are your friends. And that's kind of that's one thing that we wanted to emphasize in this toolkit. We were talking about, like, okay, how do we advertise this thing? How do we market it? Mm-hmm. And it's like, there's a million things out there that are like how to argue the faith. Whereas, like, we want something that's like how to talk to your friends about the faith, because that's what people, we're not trying to give people answers. We're trying to give people like restored friendships, right? It's not just information. Yes. It's restored relationships, which is ultimately what people want. You know, I want the people that I go get drinks with after work to also believe in Jesus, you know? And so that's what we're trying to help people do, instead of just giving them the information and then being like, yeah, have fun, go nuts.
And sometimes, I don't know, sometimes that can be trickier because there is a pre-existing relationship there that you want to respect. Obviously, it's mm-hmm. not like, I don't know, you know, you just, you know, you meet someone and kind of get into a debate, but there's no relationship there. And then how to structure that in a way that's respectful, and also respectful that the prayer is that the Spirit is moving through that person, but the time frame is not, obviously, it's not clear to us, it's not clear to mm-hmm. them, and that it can't be rushed, and that there'll probably be lots of times you're like, well, I think I hit a dead end here. This is just, it just, but then having the grace to say, well, this is where it is today, but I don't know where it'll be 2 weeks from now, you know, in this, in this conversion experience, hopeful conversion experience.
Yeah. It's long, it's drawn out, and it's, like, they're the best equipped to do it. Which is, yeah, you know, like, you'd think of this in business terms, right? What's the best way to evangelize at scale? Well, you know, everyone has friends, and I can't reach those friends as well as they can. So, like, I just want to give them what they need to help tend their little corner of the garden, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And, like, we find this with, you know, in the mission fields as well. When you have places where they don't know Christ, the very first thing that the church needs to do is be building relationships with people, to be, mm-hmm. you know, building schools, building hospitals, taking care of the bodily needs of those people. You have to have a relationship in order to bring somebody into Christ Church, right? Mm-hmm. You can't just wander up to strangers on the street and start screaming at them, you know, things that you, I don't know, maybe on a plane where you've just
you'll end
decided.
Up on TikTok.
Yeah, that's how you end up in really ridiculous situations. And when you really, truly love the people, that's when they mm-hmm. believe you, that you're not out to get them for some deeper reason that's weird. And maybe there's a quota and, you know, like a used car dealership in the back where we all got tally marks. Although I would like one of those in the coffee and donut room. That would be great. we don't have that. Like, these are the people that you love. The leaderboard, exactly. So you get the good room in heaven, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, we have to love these people. And instead of trying to love the people that you're evangelizing, why not start evangelizing the people that you love?
Most
that's wild.
That's a great way to put it. Wow. Yeah.
So wild. Patrick's got this crazy idea out there. Well, I don't know a good transition for that. And that's annoying because I like having a good transition. But we are looking at the gospel from John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. This is the fifth Sunday of Easter gospel. So I'm going to read this for you guys and we're going to talk it out, okay? Jesus said to his disciples, "I am the true vine and the Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and everyone that does, he prunes so that it bears more fruit. You are already pruned because of the word that I spoke to you. Remain in me as I remain in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. People will gather them and throw them into a fire and they will be burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." So, Patrick, if you're the vine, what's your fruit?
Yeah, I kind of take this in two ways. There's like I think in our conversation, the easiest direction to go in would be the evangelistic route, right? Where the fruit is, you know, souls that grow. Right? Like that, what is fruit? Fruit is there so that it brings a seed to the ground. It gets heavy, falls off the branch, hits the ground. It provides nutrients for the seed to grow. Right? So that's hopefully it means new people coming into the faith. I think there's also the fruit of like personal holiness. I don't think that should be discounted, because I always hesitate to interpret this verse as like a results oriented. Like, oh, if you're really remaining in Christ, then a lot of people are going to come to Jesus because of you, which is fine and true, but also like, it's not the point. The point is also for you to remain in Jesus and bear fruit. And that will show through like your personal growth and like the fruits of the Spirit. You know, I think that might be why we call those the fruits of the Spirit, that we're supposed to grow in those. And that's the fruit that we bear and continue to get pruned, et cetera. So those are my two takes. It's like the evangelism take, the external and the internal with the fruits of the Spirit.
Yeah, there was a great transition there from the leaderboard conversation, and I just missed it. I hate it when I do that. Father Anthony, what is your takeaway?
I often don't use images in homilies like artistic things from art, because sometimes it could be hard to describe it. But one of my favorite church in Rome is the Church of San Clemente. If either of you've ever been there, it's an incredible church in Rome. And it has the Tree of Life mosaic. I would suggest our listeners Google that later. Tree of Life, Church of San Clemente, St. Clement's in Rome. And it's probably like a 10th or 11th century mosaic with the cross at the center. And then from the cross, all this living vine coming out of it. It is just so evocative, so amazing. And it just reminds us that unless we're rooted in the cross, in the person of Jesus and the cross, through the cross, there's no life. The other image that, you know, that the scripture opens with is like about this idea of pruning. Unless there's a Latin expression, I'm not going to be able to bring it up, but the translation is, if you prune it, it will grow. So this idea that, the Lord says we've been pruned already, but we know that pruning is a lifelong process. And sometimes you even prune living branches that are good because to let other ones grow. And I think about that is sometimes we have to cut away in our lives things that are not necessarily bad, but in order to focus on what's most important. It's that idea, in order to say yes to anything or anyone or the one, the Lord, it actually requires saying a lot of no's. Because otherwise our yes doesn't have much meaning. So I don't know. Those are the two themes that I find very evocative in this upcoming Sunday's gospel.
Yeah, I'm a vegetable gardener. I grow vegetables every summer. And one of the things that you do with a tomato plant, if you're not a gardener, if you want some advice, you got to pinch off anything that comes out. They're called suckers that come out in between these two little spaces, like the main leaf and the big trunk of the thing. You have to pinch all those off as you go up, because otherwise your plant is going to put all of its energy into putting out these little tiny leaves that aren't going to bear any fruit, instead of putting its energy into the thing that is going to bear fruit. So what you're saying is you have to say a lot of no's in order to get to the fruit of things. And I think that in our world right now, it's so hard for people to say no to things. Like, we want to do literally everything when, you know, like, I know Patrick's got a lot of opportunities being thrown at him right now, but he's got a family that he's got a community of his podcast listeners. These are the people that he's responsible for growing. So that might mean turning down, you know, something fantastic that seems super great. And I think that, you know, when you're doing what Patrick is talking about, having that personal holiness, you're growing in that personal thing, it's easier to sort of sort through those things and figure out where it is that you need to focus your energy. Whereas if this is your first time growing tomatoes, you may never know to pull out those little suckers. So that's kind of where I am at on there. I did look up that that church that you were talking about, the San Clemente Tree of Life. That is a beautiful mosaic. I have never gotten to go to Rome. Patrick, have you been to Rome?
I have not. Not yet.
Not yet. Not yet. Not yet.
Not yet. Well, they just took their whole community to the Holy Land just before everything got terrifying.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They probably escaped narrowly before everything got out of control. But
things were rumbling when we were there. It was not.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
You don't love a good rumble, especially not in that sense.
Not in that area of the world. A lot of rumbles. No, we did. It was great though. I did love it.
Yeah. The community that you're growing, Patrick, online is very, very similar to what this gospel is talking about. This vine that's growing lots of different branches. And I want to encourage people. I know that we focus a lot on foreign missionaries on this podcast, but I really do want to encourage people to check out the Crunchcast and the community that they're growing. They have a what's called a Discord server. Patrick, can you describe a Discord server?
A Discord server is like a bunch of group chats nested within one another. So it's
sound terrible. Try again.
Sorry. I'll try my best. So a Discord server is like, it's like imagine a social network, but it's dedicated to one major topic. So our Discord server is people who like our podcast or also like young adult Catholics. And so nested within that server, we have stuff that's related to the show. We have general discussions, like they're called channels. So it's essentially a chat about, you know, books, a chat about, you know, being in a family, a chat about, I think gardening is one of them. And so we have a Discord server where you can go and talk about Catholicism stuff. You can talk about the podcast. You can talk about trying to live a more human life. That's one topic we talk about all the time. And to get there, you can go to bit.ly, so like bit.ly/crunchdiscord, and it'll send you an invite and you can sign up. It's free to join because it's just a social network, but it's bit.ly/crunchdiscord. That's one of the best places to connect with us.
And I bring that up because a lot of our listeners are people who work in mission fields within the United States. They're diocesan directors. They're people who support missionaries overseas and foreign missionaries. But there is, you know, St. Teresa of Calcutta tells you that you need to find Calcutta where you are, right? You need to find the poor, the sick, the suffering in your own home, in your own church. And I think that what the Crunch community is doing over there in that Discord and with this toolkit is really equipping people to be able to go out and do that, to reach their friends. And if you don't have a strong Catholic community where you are, or if you know a young person who is struggling because this lack of community is something that is just, it's really tearing at our young people. We had talked to Jose de Arquidi about this, that the lack of community is really cutting off young people from the church. And I think that Patrick and Ethan are doing a great job creating that community, and you can steal ideas from them and go implement them in your diocese. I'm confident they won't mind.
Yeah, we very much recognize, like our biggest year was COVID year, was 2020. Our biggest year as a podcast, because we were able to be that, like that community that people were missing because their college was all online. Their Newman Center wasn't meeting. They didn't have theology on tap. And so we were that stopgap, and it was a great bridge. And we kind of leaned into that of like, we're the community until you get a community. It's like, this is a place where you can kind of scratch that itch to feel not alone and then get the confidence to go and start things. Cause right now it's unfortunate. Young people are the least equipped they've ever been to start their own communities, and they need to more than ever, because the community, especially after college, is not being handed to you anymore. You don't have a high school youth minister making communities for you when you have a young family. You know, you're kind of up the creek. And so that's what we try to encourage people to, you know, start communities and give them the tools needed. Sometimes people run into each other on the Discord. They're like, I didn't know you go to my parish. Yeah. You know, and then, oh, boom, there you go.
And then they're married.
Then they're married. We have the podcast because the dating advice segment is purposeful. Best way to create communities is to biologically make them. And so that's what we've been encouraging. People have gotten married because of the advice we've given them on the podcast, which is our claim to fame.
It's very exciting. Yeah, that's what I did. I grew up in a very, like, my older brother is 5 years older than me, so I did not grow up with siblings. My parents are divorced. Like, I just didn't have that growing up. And so when my husband had the same situation, his sister's closer, but his parents were divorced and didn't have that. So we were like, we're going to get married. We're going to have 7 million kids so that nobody's ever lonely or bored. And if your cousins
move
away,
there.
It's not that
you
problem.
You almost have 7 million.
I know. I'm so close. I'm getting there. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Patrick. Father Anthony, do you have any closing words or blessings you'd like to give to our community before we go?
Maybe just that we're talking about the tree of life now that we're in spring, as the earth is being reborn. May the joy of Easter and the blessings of Easter continue not only to renew our earth, but to renew our families and our hearts and our lives too.
Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for being with us, Patrick. I hope you guys continue to have a blessed Easter season, and we will see you next week. Bye. Frontiers of Faith is a podcast of the Pontifical Mission Societies, produced by Katie Ruvalcaba. Theme music by Ethan Stevie. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at @faith_frontiers and at Frontiers of Faith on Facebook and Instagram. To support the work of the Pontifical Mission Societies, please go to onefamilyinmission.org to donate.